meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect. It's 3:32 p.m. on Tuesday, February 18th, 2014. We're in the Butchovich Room 205. Let the record show we have a quorum to do business. We have Senator Geisel, Vice Chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Bishop. Also like to note the presence of Senator Coghill, who's going to present a bill. Also like to recognize our committee staff, Christopher Dickrell from Senate Records, and LAO staff Shane Rudd. Also like to please remind everyone to turn off your cell phones. Purpose of our meeting today is to hear Senate Bill 157, an act relating to municipal fire protection service area boundary changes, sponsored by Senator Coghill. And the Alaska Conference of Mayors is meeting in Juneau today. I've asked a few of them to address us at will from 4 to 5 today. Give us a brief overview of your municipal issues. So this is our first hearing on Senate Bill 157. It's not my intent to pass the bill out today. We'll begin taking public testimony and committee discussion, and then we'll have the bill back before us on Thursday, and without any undue issues, I would expect we're going to move it at that point. So Senator Coghill, if you'll join us to introduce the bill, and Hans Rodvik, Senator Coghill's intern, will be presenting it. And please join us and identify yourself for the record and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for hearing the Senate Bill 157. It is true, I'm Senator Coghill from the North Pole area, and I think you'll actually hear from people from the North Star borough on this particular issue. Hans Rodvik will actually go through some of the questions. Wonderful intern from the University of Alaska, and I've enjoyed working with him. But I'll just give you kind of the brief high-level view. It was brought to me by request of the borough that I reside in. We have sometimes a fire engine will go right past a fire station to take care of their fire service area. And the way the boundaries are drawn, the flexibility is very difficult unless we, under this title, give them the ability to have that flexibility. And that's really the simple story on this bill, is to allow the assembly to set their boundaries to best suit the equipment management. The tax rates are not intended to change, and the fire service, I think, would end up being served better. So that's the simple thrust of this bill. I appreciate you hearing it. And I will let Hans Rodvik, who is probably much more capable than me on this issue, he's been doing the most of the homework on it, answer the questions. And Mr. Chairman and committee members, I am required to keep a quorum in another committee, so I'm going to excuse myself unless you have a question of me particularly.
Very much appreciate you being here. I'd rather you hold your quorum, and I'm sure Hans is well suited to cover you while you're gone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, good afternoon, Senator Machicki and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Hans Rodvik, and I work for Senator Coghill as a legislative intern. Like Senator Coghill said, I've been working on Senate Bill 157, and I'm here today to present it to you. So let's begin. Current state law, AS 29.35.450C, allows a local assembly, without a vote by the property owners in the fire service area, to increase the number of parcels in a fire service area if the increase in parcels is not more than 6% or would not add more than 1,000 residents to the area. Senate Bill 157 adds a corollary provision into statute that would allow an assembly, without a service area-wide vote, as is currently required, to remove a small number of parcels or make some minor boundary changes to a service area, so long as the property owners request it and it meets the criteria set out by ordinance. Under current law, an election of the entire service area is necessary just to remove the one small parcel. As you can see in the maps provided, fire service areas in the Fairbanks North Star borough have some odd boundaries. Senate Bill 157 will provide property owners and local governments a streamlined way to fix such ambiguous boundaries of fire service areas. Furthermore, the changes to statute we are proposing will allow property owners to receive fire service from a fire department nearest to their residence. Fire service areas are constantly growing and even being created. Senate Bill 157 gives property owners the ability to quickly adjust boundary changes. Therefore, Senate Bill 157 is important because it gives property owners the ability to choose to be covered by closer service areas and thus receive faster emergency services when the time arises.
Mr. Rodrick, if I can just interrupt for one moment, I just wanted to note for the record that Senator Regan arrived here at 3:35. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, you continue.
Thank you. Likewise, we think that statute must be fixed because development patterns of roads have resulted in first responders traveling through different fire service areas to access land parcels that are within their service area. Like Senator Coghill said, we have fire trucks passing by other departments to reach a parcel of land that they're trying to go and serve. The maps provided show examples of this problem. In conclusion, the ability to establish a less cumbersome process for changing fire service area boundaries will allow municipalities to define more natural boundaries, therefore making it easier for emergency responders to determine which parcels to serve. Lastly, Senate Bill 157 provides municipalities with the flexibility needed to adjust boundaries based on the service levels available. Thank you for this opportunity to present Senate Bill 157 today. And at this point, I'd be willing to answer any questions to the best of my ability.
Thank you, Mr. Rodvik. Questions from the committee? No? I have a comment. You did a fine job. My recommendation to Senator Coghill is that you should present all of his bills. But, we'll see how that works out in the future. But
thank you.
Without any questions, I want to thank you. What we're going to do is keep the bill open. And we're going to have public testimony. We'll open public testimony. Don't know if we have anyone that's going to. We do. Okay. There's a name from the past. Anyway, we're going to open public testimony, and what we'll do is keep the bill open until Thursday's meeting, and we'll start public testimony on the phone right now. We have Mr. David Gibbs from the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Mr. Gibbs, if you can identify yourself and your affiliation for the record.
Yeah, members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. My name is David Gibbs, and I am the Director of Emergency Operations with Fairbanks North Star Borough.
You can feel free to begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to begin my very brief comments by thanking the sponsor, first of all, Senator Coghill. I also want to, for the record, state that the Fairbanks North Star Borough supports the passage of Senate Bill 157. In our borough, fire service areas were established in the early 1980s with a best-guess eye toward future growth and development patterns. For the most part, these growth estimates have held true, and our residents enjoy high-quality fire protection services. However, there are a few situations where development has not occurred as anticipated, and service area residents owning parcels along the boundaries of fire service areas may be receiving substandard fire services response due to distances from service providers or very limited fire protection due to problems with accessibility. The Fairbanks North Star Borough believes that the only avenue currently available to us in statute to address these anomalies with fire service area boundaries is overly cumbersome, as it requires the expense and effort of multiple elections to make even minor adjustments to the boundaries of existing fire service areas. Senate Bill 157 provides municipalities with much-needed tools by giving a municipality the authority to decrease or transfer by ordinance a small number of parcels in a fire service area without holding an election. Decreasing or transferring parcels by ordinance provides property owners with an opportunity for a public hearing before any action is taken. Parcels along the boundary of a fire service area might be decreased at a property owner's request if, for example, they are not road accessible. In our borough, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, there are areas that were included in fire service areas where development was planned, roads were platted but never built. Residents must still pay fire protection taxes, but due to limited accessibility, cannot reasonably expect to receive a high level of quality fire services. Passage of this legislation and a companion ordinance by a municipality will allow a property owner in this situation to petition the municipality's legislative body to have his property removed from fire service area until better road access was developed. We do not have a mechanism currently to remove people from fire service areas who cannot receive the service. Parcels may be transferred to an adjacent fire service area when adjacent service area has a much closer fire station and therefore able to provide a much higher level of fire protection. I believe we have provided maps showing a couple of examples that exist within our borough. These are not, I should add, the only examples within our borough. These are examples where a fire department may have to pass through one or more adjacent fire service areas before it can provide services to its own area. In closing, the Fairbanks Northside Borough believes that SB 157 will greatly assist our ability to administer fire service areas by ensuring service area boundary parcel owners receive the best possible fire protection and giving those residents who are paying for but not receiving fire services a simple and straightforward method to remove their property from a fire service area. At this time, I'll try to answer any questions you may have. Thanks for your time and consideration of my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbs. Questions for Mr. Gibbs? Yes, Senator Bishop.
Hey, David, I'm in full support of this bill, but just for illustrative purposes, what's it cost a borough to run a service area election?
The most recent one, I believe, was a North Star tax revenue cap increase, and that was about $9,000.
Thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Gibbs? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Gibbs. They're Fairbanks North Star Borough is lucky to have you. You must be gone. We also have a letter from Chief Jeff Tucker from the Alaska Fire Chief Association discussing support for the bill and urging passage. Jeff Tucker most recently moved to Kenai as their newest fire chief. Interesting. Okay. Any other questions from the committee for the sponsor or anything else before we move on? We'll hold open the public testimony until Thursday. And we scheduled the mayor's for 4 o'clock, so we may have a little break for a few moments here. And we'll take an at ease and see you all back at 4 o'clock. Community and Regional Affairs comes back to order at 4 o'clock, and I thought that we would take advantage of the fact that the Alaska Conference of Mayors is meeting in Juneau. A lot of them are in town, and the reason it's appropriate for this committee is the fact that we're Community and Regional Affairs, and this committee deals with issues that primarily relate to local government and government services or functions in the unorganized borough and other matters relating to political subdivisions. So first to join us is Mayor Mim McConnell from Sitka, and we're here, and we will likely have some questions for you after your discussion, but feel free to start at will.
Thank you. Tilt this a little better so I can see it. There we go. So, yes, this is a subject I'm rather passionate about, electricity in Sitka.
I think you're still supposed to state your name.
Oh, yes, it's on here. Hello. I'm Mayor Mim McConnell of the City and Borough of Sitka. And I'm just talking about a subject I'm very passionate about. So thank you, Senator McKitchie, for inviting the mayors to speak at this hearing today, and thank you, senators, for taking the time to listen. So my subject of focus for Sitka is completing the funding of the Blue Lake Hydroelectric Dam Expansion Project. The method we are requesting for accomplishing this funding is not the usual grant request, though we would, of course, prefer that, but a loan from the AEA, or Alaska Energy Authority, Power Project Loan Fund. This fund was a great idea for Alaska. It showed great foresight because during a time of waning income and plans for a deficit budget, this is a good solution for continuing the important task of affordably, sustainably powering our communities. It helps wean communities off of the grant cycle, something which is obviously unsustainable right now, and onto a process where communities participate in paying for their power improvements. Imagine what this state would be like over the coming decade of deficit spending if we couldn't continue to lower our power costs. Local economies would decline. Economic development would falter. The people would leave in droves, meaning our children and grandchildren, because they couldn't find work. I don't want this future for Sitka or any other Alaskan community. The legislature can do something about this. You can save Sitkans another rate increase. They've already had three since December 2012, a 48% increase, by appropriating money to the Power Project Loan Fund. You did this for Cordova last year and the Prince of Wales Island community the year before. Thank you for listening and considering our request for $18.6 million. And I have language here that we're recommending for inserting in the budget, and I have all kinds of documents, and I have pictures, and it's an amazing project. I invite you to Sitka to come and explore, and you can go on a tour of the project. We have the largest crane in Alaska right now in service, reaches all the way across to the other side where they're building the dam, and it's really pretty phenomenal. So
I just have a couple questions about the project. What's the so the dam has been operating for many, many years.
It's this current, the first dam went in about 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have there right now has been in place since about 1959, 1960. And it was a three-phase project. And the first two projects were done within the first few years there. And then they always knew that there was going to be a phase three. They just didn't know when. And they didn't know that we were going to go up another 83 feet. They had planned for a lesser amount. But we decided that now or never, it was time to go all out and go up as high as we can possibly go. And so that's what we're doing. So the dam will end up, we're increasing 83 feet to an elevation of 425 feet. We'll be increasing our power ability from 7.5 megawatts to 17 megawatts. It's a huge increase. It'll help our community for the next 15 to 20 years.
Is the what's the name of the dam?
It's the Blue Lake.
Only serve Sitka?
That's correct.
And for how many years do you think 17 is 17 sort of the average production?
17 megawatts is what we need right now, and there's a little bit extra. So that's what I'm saying. We're good for about another 15 to 20 years, unless we see a huge growth spurt in the community.
So you're supplementing with diesel?
We do supplement with diesel. Yeah, we're also in the process of looking at Cats Lake, which is over on the other side of Baranoff Island, and that one does have possibilities for an intertie. We're already starting on the FERC permitting process. We've been doing all kinds of studies on the lake, and it looks like we'll be able to do a lake tap rather than a dam. Hmm. And so that's been an interesting process.
In-stream generator or something.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Egan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So what is your kilowatt per hour rate for residential?
It's back when we first started this project, it was 9 cents roughly. Mm-hmm. And we have an inclining rate right now, and it varies between 12 and 19 cents per kilowatt hour. We have we built conservation into our rate structure, so for a resident, if they conserve their power, they pay less per kilowatt hour. The 19 cents is more on the heavy users, especially businesses and even residents that use a lot. We were able to do that by helping the residents get their rate down a little bit recently by reducing what their monthly flat monthly fee is. That was quite high after our second bond issuance that we just had. You know, we have to raise our rates every time they issue a bond. So we found that it was just too much. The monthly rate was like 30-some dollars a month. And so we ended up tweaking the rate structure and lowering that and then increased it on the other end. So, yeah.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Senator Marchicki. Would Allen Marine and, say, the Pioneers Home be considered, would they come in this 12 to 19 cent range an hour, kilowatt usage hour range?
Well, there's five different categories, and I'm not sure which one they fit in. So, you know, it would be, they would, they're larger, so they would be on one of those upper ends, but I don't know if it would be that highest one.
Thank you.
That might be more like the seafood plants. We have three seafood plants, processing plants.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. A number of those places also have generators, so that if we're short power, they can start their generators, like Search Hospital, that kind of thing.
Senator Egan has a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick follow-up. So that $30 fee, was that to pay off a bond?
That well, in order to get the bond, we
so
have
every rate payer
we
has
have
to pay
promise
the
that there's going to be enough money to pay the bill.
Okay.
And so we have to increase our rates every time a bond is issued. And so that was just there's different ways that you can create the rate structure, and one of them is to have that flat fee be a particular amount, and then you do your per kilowatt hour after that. And so we had to do a fair amount of tweaking to get it so that it works for our economy, and so we're at a pretty good place right now. July 1st, the third bond that was issued, those rates go into effect July 1st. So they're going to see an increase coming up here.
Well, I would personally love – did you have a follow-up
no.
question? I'm sorry, Senator. I'd love to see the language, and we can chat with our partners in the Senate about support, and very much appreciate you – you being here and talking with us about issues in Sitka.
Thank you. I'll be up meeting with some people tomorrow, and including Representative Costello. And so if you ever have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact me.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And who should I give this language to? Okay. And I'd be happy to send my testimony.
Yes.
Hey, Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just want to make darn sure that Senator Stedman has to pay.
Well, I don't, right.
Double.
Right. we'll come up with something, I'm sure. Let's see. Next on the list here, we have Stephanie Scott, Mayor of Haynesboro. You can please join us and still have to kind of redundantly state your name for the record. But
absolutely. My name is Stephanie Scott, and I'm the mayor of the Haynesboro. Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. I hadn't planned on testifying in front of you, but I wanted to take this opportunity to bring to you a problem that the Haynesboro is facing. Of course, part of Southeast, and have been guided by the Southeast Integrated Resource Plan. And within that plan, it has many recommendations for energy, one of which is to do some fuel switching, to use biomass so that for heat, so that that conserves our electrical, our hydroelectric. And we have taken that to heart. And we are included in this year's AEA recommendation for a $1.3 million grant to convert our buildings, 10 of our public buildings, to pellets. And we're very excited about that, and we hope that sticks. But our other problem is that since 2008, we have taken our energy situation very seriously. We had a peak oil task force that met for many months, and I was staffed to that. This was before I was an elected official. And out of that came the Energy Sustainability Commission for the Haynesboro. And again, I became staffed to that organization. We promoted conservation. We took it seriously that the first fuel is conservation. It's what you can, and we also took seriously that you can't manage what you don't measure. And we undertook to participate in every single program that the state of Alaska offered for energy efficiency and weatherization in the private sector. And we got our private sector to conserve energy voraciously and to indulge or implement energy alternative energy projects in their own homes. We have geothermal heat systems that are the private sector has installed. Well, as a consequence, we've reduced our consumption of electrical energy. this year, our utility, which is a private for-profit utility, has proposed to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska that our rates be raised by 18.6%. And one of their arguments is that they should be compensated for the fact that the customers in their service district have conserved so much that their revenues have been reduced. And this affects Tok, Kaufman Cove, Craig, Skagway, Haines. I might be missing one. We've all filed to be interveners in the rate case, and that's an expensive proposition, not so much to prepare the petition to request to be interveners, but to follow up with testimony and investigation, which can be very expensive. We don't know yet whether or not what the probability of expending money to intervene in this case will be, what the cost benefit will be, or we have to be very careful with our money. But we're confused because it seems to us that the state of Alaska has been promoting a policy of energy conservation and energy efficiency, which has collided with the capacity of the utility to be guaranteed, private for-profit utility to be guaranteed a certain rate of return. And I ask you to think about this and see what you might be able to do about it. I don't have any answers. As I said, we are also turning to pellets for our heating fuel, and our heating fuel supplier has begun to talk about the necessity to raise the price for heating fuel for other customers because they are looking at losing the public sector revenue as we turn to pellets. And so once again, that's a problem in our system of energy supply in our, and at least in our community, and I think others are probably facing the same thing. So I wanted to bring that to your attention, and thank you for the opportunity to do so.
Questions? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome, Mayor Scott, to Juneau.
Senator Egan?
Is the utility AP&T?
Oh, it is.
Okay, I'm just curious.
I didn't mention.
Are you heating your school with pellets?
We will be. When that will be the first building, our school and pool, that we will be heating with.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we are going from our biggest needs down, but we are planning on putting 10 buildings into pellets. Wow. Yeah. Right now, at the cost of pellets that we're paying for pellets, we will save 25% to 35% in our heating fuel costs. But the magic of our vision is that we decided that we would test this in the public sector and at least two private sector people have taken up and replicated our system, so we're very pleased. We intend to build a market for pellets. We have the advantage of living in the Haines State Forest, which is very amenable to setting up sales for the harvest of resource for a pellet mill, and our big vision is that we will be supplying our own energy in the years to come.
Yes. Great. That's a grand idea. I think it's great because you could service Juneau as well and the rest of Southeast
We'd
Alaska.
We'd be happy to do that.
Because we all import our pellets, which doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me. But there's a hydro plant that's on the drawing boards in the Haines area.
Has
the council come out against that?
No, they haven't at all. There was a hydro, APT was proposing to develop Connolly Lake, which is in a very rich watershed, and there was quite a bit of community opposition to that development. There wasn't opposition from the elected officials, but APT dropped that project, and it's very disappointing to us. And but we are on 98% hydro. Our problem with hydro is that we don't have much room for growth. Therefore, to conserve that hydro by switching from, you know, making sure that people are not using hydro for electric heat is a good plan in our mind.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? It's just interesting because I often talk about the comprehensive evaluation of an energy balance in a community, and it's that you just outline the perfect struggle where you're not using your hydro to capacity. Well, it still has a cost per unit of generating those kilowatts, and someone has to make that up. So it's a challenge. Sometimes you can be too efficient for the size of your generation. Anyway, it's interesting.
Well, I was interested in Mayor McConnell's structure when she said that they've structured a rate for people who are conserving in their community. And it seems to me that APT, if they find that they're losing revenue, could structure a rate for people using electricity for heat, that might be a strategy that they have available to them through a tariff revision, possibly. Idea.
Okay. Yes, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is your kilowatt an hour rate?
22 cents.
Okay.
So and our comprehensive plan is to bring it down to 15 cents per kilowatt hour, and we all agree that it is the biggest barrier to economic development in Haines. However, Aspen Hotel is building a new hotel in Haines, and they are going to heat it with pellets. But they are also going to use electricity. Yeah, so. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And okay. Do we have any others signed up? Speak. Okay, with that, we missed Mayor Barrow, Mayor Hartrick. And he's an interesting man. It would have been good to have him here. So with that, committee members, do you have any questions or discussion items?
No, sir. Sure. I would just like to thank you for inviting the mayors to testify.
Oh,
good job.
You're welcome. No, interesting to hear from our constituents, even when they're not directly ours sometimes. So we will adjourn at 4:17, and we will see you Thursday afternoon at 3:30. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you.